بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن يرسل الرياح مبشرات وليذيقكم من رحمته ولتجري الفلك بأمره ولتبتغوا من فضله ولعلكم تشكرون صدق الله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. A few days ago in our evening class, we talk about different questions and different topics with our students. So one of the things that we were discussing was the idea, our belief, in believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without actually seeing Him. To believe in the unseen. And the example that I was giving to the children so that they are prepared in case they are ever asked about how could you believe in Allah if you have never seen Him. The idea I was trying to emphasize was that you don't necessarily need to see something in order to believe in its existence. And the example that I gave was, I turned this fan on over here and I told them, first I told them to plug their ears, then I turned the fan on and I asked them, okay, tell me, is the fan on or off? And most of them said, it's off. Because they weren't able to hear the sound. And there was nothing in front of the fan to indicate to them that the wind was actually blowing. But then when I came and stood in front of the fan, and they saw my clothes were blowing, then they said, well, actually the fan is on. So I said, well, there is an example of why we don't necessarily need to see something in order to believe in it. Because the wind is something that we cannot see. We see the effects of the wind on flags, on leaves, on our clothes, for example. But we don't see wind itself. Now wind itself is a sign of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is one of the signs of the glory and the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah talks about, well, first of all, we know, because I was thinking, okay, well, where does wind come from? So, you know, if you study meteorology and climatology, you'll know that it has to do with barometric pressure, it has to do from the heat. It has to do with the heat that comes from the sun. It has to do with the molecules in the air and low pressure and high pressure systems and so on and so forth. And these are the things that generate wind. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that wind is actually a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's something important. It's something that Allah wants us to think about and to reflect upon. When He says, and among His signs that He sends winds, giving good news, mubashirat, right? Bringing good news of rain, so that He gives you a taste of His mercy, and that the ships may sail with His command, and that you may search for His grace as you may be grateful. So these are signs that when the wind blows and the clouds are able to come in and there's rain, and then we have, you know, crops that grow and food that is generated and people work, and there's a whole system that is supported and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the clouds and the wind are one part of that. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who makes it happen. You know, when something happens with regard to nature or the environment, we say, or what do we hear? We blame it on Mother Nature. Right? People blame it on Mother Nature. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it really clear. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ He is the one who sends the winds, carrying good news before His blessings. حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ Until when they lift up the heavy clouds, we drive them to the dead land. فَأَنزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءَ فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ Then we pour down water, and then we bring forth with it all sorts of fruits. كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ Allah says, in a similar way we will bring forth all the dead. And this is being explained so that you may learn a lesson. So this is a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His similitude, that the way He sends rain through clouds and wind onto pieces of land which are dry and which are dead, and they get resurrected, and the plants become alive again, and then we eat from the fruits and the crops. These are all signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, first of all, and secondly, a reminder of what is to happen to all of us. Yet, despite all of these good, positive things associated with wind and clouds, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says that she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, "Oh Allah's Messenger, when the people see clouds, when the people see clouds, they become happy." Because especially, you know, in Arabia, it's dry and it's very hot, and there's usually not that much rain. So when the people see clouds, they become happy, hoping that they bring them rain. People get excited when they see clouds coming, they get happy. But she says, "But I notice you, Ya Rasulullah, that when you see them, when you see the clouds, displeasure or discomfort appears on your face." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, and he said, "Oh Aisha, what would guarantee to me that they do not bring punishment? And some nations have been punished with wind. And on seeing the punishment approaching them, a nation, a group of people once said, 'Hadha 'aridun mumtiruna,' that this is a cloud bringing us rain." They got happy that this was a cloud that was bringing them rain. And this is a direct quote. These words, this phrase is a direct quote from Surah Al-Ahqaf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in one of the places the story of the people of Aad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran how He sent from amongst them one of their brothers, the Prophet Hud alayhi salam. And the people of Aad, it is reported that they were very, very strong. They were super strong, they were super tall, they were giants. And they were very rich, and they were very powerful. And in some places it is mentioned that they had palaces and buildings made out of bricks of gold, and towers made out of silver, and they had gems and diamonds, you know, placed on the walls. And in one place it says that their city was surrounded by a huge wall. The entire city was protected by a wall that was 130 meters high, and which was decorated with gems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yet, despite their power and all of these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them, they used to worship idols. They used to worship idols, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them the messenger, the Prophet Hud alayhi salam, to bring them back towards worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they were arrogant. They made fun of the messenger. They would mock him. They would threaten him. And he repeatedly preached for a very long time. And back in the days, it is said that in those nations, the lifespans used to be very long. The lifespans of people of the past used to be very, very long. So for many, 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 many years, he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and yet they did not believe. And the height of their arrogance, was so bad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran, and he says, فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. As for Aad, they showed arrogance in the land with no right to do so. They had no right to be arrogant, yet they showed arrogance. And they went so far as to say, وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. And they would say, "Who is stronger than us in power?" So Allah had blessed them so much that they became so conceited and so full of themselves that they felt that there could be no one else, no other power that was more powerful than them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says, "Did they not see that Allah who created them is stronger than them in power?" And they used to reject our signs, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And they went even further. So not only were they arrogant and they thought that they were the most strong and the most powerful of people, but they went further. And when the Prophet Hud alayhi salam warned them, he said, "Listen, I'm afraid for you that perhaps there might come to you a punishment from your Lord." They went further and they said, "Oh yeah, is that right? You're talking about some punishment that you're going to bring? فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُونَ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ." They'll bring it on. If you're talking about this punishment from this so-called Lord of yours, na'udhu billah, why don't you bring it on? Bring it. So they asked for it. And they saw a cloud that was coming. And they saw the cloud, and they said, قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. So when they saw it as a cloud, a dark, heavy cloud proceeding towards them, they said, "This is a cloud that will bring us rain." They started celebrating. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is referring to. That they started celebrating and they said, "This is a cloud that will bring us rain." And in the commentaries of the Quran, it is mentioned that the people actually went out and they started looking. And you know, there was this this atmosphere of celebration, of happiness, because they were looking forward to the rain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ. No, but it is verily the thing that they had asked, that you had asked to hasten up. The punishment that you asked to, that would hurry up and come to you because you were challenging the Prophet, well, this is what it is. رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. A wind in which there is a painful punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. That will destroy. And the word تُدَمِّرُ has, even when you hear it, it has a certain type of force to it. Right? And it's not just destroy, but totally decimate. تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Totally decimate everything. بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. Through the command of its Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another place, because this surah, this story is mentioned in a number of places, he says, وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. And as for Ad, they were destroyed by a furious, violent wind. سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبَعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا. Which Allah imposed upon them for how long? For 7 nights and 8 days in succession. You know, nowadays, if there's a hurricane or something happens, and it lasts for 20 minutes, it lasts for an hour, it lasts for a half a day, we get worried and we get concerned, and there's all this destruction and this damage. Well, the wind that was sent and the clouds that were sent to the people of Ad, it lasted for 7 days and 8 nights. In succession, consecutively. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاضِيَةٍ. So that you could see people lying overthrown. So these giants, these super giants who were many, many feet tall, super tall, they were lying destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you could see them overthrown as if they were hollow trunks of date palm trees. You know how palm trees are really tall? And I'm always fascinated whenever I travel to a tropical area, go down south or go overseas, and you see these palm trees and they're so tall, right? And yet they're standing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that example, that there were like these tall palm trees that had fallen over and had hollow trunks. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. Do you see any remnants of them? Meaning to say, these were people who had been blessed with much more wealth than you had. They had been blessed with much more power than you have. Right? They were blessed with much more strength, and everything else was much more than yours. Yet, now do you see any remnants? Do you see any signs of them? And the answer is, of course, no. So this is one of the lessons that we take from this. That do not let arrogance take over you. Don't let arrogance and conceitful pride take over you. That you believe that, you know, whatever you have been given is because you are the best. Right? If you've been given wealth by Allah, or intellect, or knowledge, or strength, or, you know, the ability to practice the religion, the faith, or if you've been given good looks, you've been given power by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't let that get to your head. Don't let that get to your head, and don't start thinking that I'm all that. Right? Don't start thinking that you're super special. So never become conceited, thinking that you know everything, or just because you have been blessed in a certain way, that you are better than everyone else, and that you know best, and that I don't need to listen to anyone, because I'm the most intelligent person, or that I am always right, no one else can be wrong, or that I have no shortcomings, because I have this quality and that quality, or that there is no one else who knows better than me, because I'm the expert, or I know better than everyone else, and I'm the smartest person around, everyone else, they don't know anything. So don't let that happen to you. Because these people, they were stronger, they were richer, they were taller, they were more powerful. But again, فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. They had all these qualities, but do you see any of that today? No, they're all gone. And secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the beloved of Allah. He had been protected from sin. He was a close prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had so many of these qualities that we do not have. Because he was special and he was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, notice this, that he was still concerned. He was still concerned. And he was worried about upsetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? He didn't take things for granted. This special status that he had been given, he did not let that go to his head. He was never full of himself. always humble, right? He never let that get to him, that he started feeling that, okay, I am protected, and I'm good, and I'm the Prophet, Allah has chosen me, so therefore I don't have to worry about anything. No, even when he would see a cloud, he would still be concerned, and he would still be worried that this may be some form of discipline from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rather, he was concerned about his responsibility, right? Think about this. Everything that we have been blessed with, we are accountable for that. So the more we have been blessed, the more accountability we have. The Prophet ﷺ was worried about carrying out his mission properly. He was concerned that, okay, if Allah has chosen me and has given me the status, then I'm also accountable for that. Have I lived up to all the expectations that Allah has from me? Have I done the job properly? So whatever power, whatever energy, whatever intellect, whatever knowledge, whatever wealth, whatever power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, all the blessings that He has given us, we have to think about, okay, are we really living up to using them to the best of our ability for the best of purposes? Because everything that Allah has given us, we are accountable for that. Right? We are accountable for every single blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, to make sure that we use it in the best way possible, in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us. And so he was so careful, despite his special status, that even the sight of the clouds would concern him. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw any clouds on the horizon, he would leave whatever he was doing. Because it was a rare occurrence, he would leave whatever he was doing, even if he was in prayer. Even if he was in prayer and he noticed that there's a cloud, he would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri ma fiha. That, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from any harm that it contains. And there's a longer version of the hadith as well, of the dua that the Prophet ﷺ would actually supplicate when he would see clouds. He would supplicate and say, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa khayra ma ursilat bih. Wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha wa sharri ma ursilat bih. That, O Allah, I ask you of its good and the good that it contains and the good with which it has been sent. And I seek refuge. I seek refuge in you from its evil, the evil that it contains and the evil with which it has been sent with. So, if the clouds were removed and they went away, then the Prophet ﷺ would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if rain fell, even if rain fell, he would still make dua, because we know what can happen. We want rain, farmers need rain, we need rain for survival. But if there's too much rain, then we end up with a problem as well. So Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the dua and he would say, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'an, that, O Allah, make it pouring and beneficent. Make it rain which is beneficial for us. So as we can see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely concerned even with these minor things that, of course, you know, we usually don't pay as much attention to, but we should take note of this and try to learn these du'as and try to act upon his example. Now in the past week, we know that there was a terrible and terrifying tornado which struck Oklahoma City. And if you watch the video and the pictures, especially the video, it truly is terrifying. And especially the news reports, if you listen to it, because this was something which was not on radar. This was a tornado which nobody had any news about or any indication about. And it formed within half an hour. Within 30 minutes, this tornado, the strongest tornado that we know that could exist, formed within minutes, within half an hour, and sent everyone in a panic. Now, if you think about this, it's mind-boggling, that the terror and the fear that it puts into our hearts, because first of all, it's huge, no one can control it. Okay, so nobody has a device that can actually suck the wind out of a tornado, number one. Number two, you don't know where it's going to go. Okay, it's huge. It's picking up everything that's on the ground and throwing it up. So if you see the video, you just see you see rooftops flying, you see small 2x4s, and these are all pieces of buildings, of structures, of strong structures, of hospitals and shopping centers and schools, which are literally being picked up in a second and being thrown up as if they're toys. Not even toys, as if they're cotton balls. Okay, so this is the power that we see in the tornado, and of course we know that it's not Mother Nature, rather it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's terrifying because you don't know where it's going to go. So you know there's these storm chasers. Okay, people do crazy things, right? And this is how we get some of this video. Okay, they're storm chasers, so they have their vans and they're like totally equipped, like bulletproof and like, you know, like solid, so they can try to survive these things as much as possible. But they know they need to get out of the path of the tornado, right? Because you don't want to be in the middle of that thing. So you watch the video and you can see they're filming it and they're like, okay, let's go, we've got to run. So they get in their cars and their vans and then they drive away and they're still filming it because you don't know where it's going to go. And if you look at the satellite image, if you look at the aerial view, like as one of the reporters is describing it, it seems like somebody rolled a huge bowling ball through the neighborhood. And there are neighborhoods which in one area, a few blocks, there's nothing. Everything is fine and the houses are intact. And there's just one path of destruction, literally as if there was a huge bowling ball that was just rolled through and destroyed everything that came in its path. So these are things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls. We do not know why He chooses it to send it where He does. So it's not up to us to decide or to judge, right? But what it does remind us of is the incident, for example, of the people of Aad and the people of Hud alayhi salam. Now many times people start wondering, okay, is it a test? Is it a punishment? And what I say, regardless of what it is, only Allah knows best. Our job is to respond in the same way, and that is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who controls it, He knows best. The fact of the matter is that the area in which it struck, now of course there's all types of people everywhere, but this is one of the places where sadly sentiment against Islam, against Muslims, anti-Muslim sentiment has been rampant, unfortunately. Yet, despite that fact, Muslims, alhamdulillah, fortunately have been going and have been helping. Many of the Muslim relief agencies, Islamic Relief and ICNA Relief and others, are on the ground. They're gone to Oklahoma City to help out in the recovery and help the people there. As Muslims, we respond, right? We respond with goodness, because this is what we do. This is what we do. We help people. We try to help out in whatever situation people are in. Even if there are those who have misgivings or those who have some misunderstandings about us and about our faith, we try our best to do what is the best, what is the most correct thing to do. But for all of us, this serves as a reminder. As a reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. This is a stark, a very clear reminder of the power of Allah. And whenever we see something like this, it's not just a spectator sport. It's not just something that we look at and we take it and we say, wow, okay, that was a crazy tornado, man. Do you see all those people who were hurt or all the buildings that were destroyed? That's not the way, as believers, that we take these things in. We look at them and these things should help us, encourage us to reflect and to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek repentance from all of our sins and our misdeeds. We turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek His protection. Right? Because at the end of the day, Allah is the one who controls these things. And there's no one else, there's no other power that can protect us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not only that, we also take it one step further and we say, okay, let me find ways to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? What am I doing now? How can I change myself? How can I improve myself for the better so that I solidify the connection I have with God, the connection that I have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We all have that connection. Everyone has that connection, whether we like to ignore it, whether we want to deny it, whether we want to turn away from it. The connection is there. It's our job to explore it, to solidify it, to make it constantly better and better and better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease to all of those who are suffering in all the different parts of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from His wrath and from His difficult tests. We make a special dua for our elder sister, Mahbub Sultana, who is the grandmother of Brother Adnan Khan, and she is very ill in Toronto, and her grandson, great-grandson, Suleiman, one of our youth, had emailed me to ask everyone to make dua. The doctors are saying that it may be the end of the time for her, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So we make dua that Allah grants her everything that is good. And of course, inshallah, we will be having janazah prayer, funeral prayer, after we offer our prayers. And this is for our elder sister, Khadriya Suleiman, who is the wife of Brother Hamid Suleiman, the mother of Sister Samia Jamani and Sister Susan Yahya, the mother-in-law of Brother Noor Jamani and Brother Muhammad Yahya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase her ranks and grant her a high place in Jannah, inshallah. So we will be offering her funeral prayer, and I request everyone to stand with us, inshallah, for that after the congregational prayer. And we also have a brother with us, who is collecting funds for Jamia Islamia Canada, a mosque, a masjid in Toronto. So he will be outside as well, making a pledge for donations. So whatever support you can offer him, that would be greatly appreciated. And he has his debit machine as well, and that can be used as well.